Message for 1901. Beloved brethren, today I extend my heart and hand fellowship to the faithful, to those whose hearts have been beating through the mental avenues of mankind for God and humanity. And rest assured, you can never lack God's outstretched arm so long as you are in His service. Our first communion in the new century finds Christian Science more extended, more rapidly advancing, better appreciated than ever before, and nearer the whole world's acceptance. Today you meet to commemorate in unity the life of our Lord and to rise higher and still higher in the individual consciousness most essential to your growth and usefulness. To add to your treasures of thought the great realities of being, which constitute mental and physical perfection. The baptism of the Spirit and the refreshment and invigoration of the human in communion with the divine have brought you hither. All that is true is a sort of necessity, a portion of the primal reality of things. Truth comes from a deep sincerity that must always characterize heroic hearts. It is a better side of man's nature developing itself. As Christian Scientists, you seek to define God to your own consciousness by feeling and applying the nature and practical possibilities of divine love to gain the absolute and supreme certainty that Christianity is now what Christ Jesus taught and demonstrated: health, holiness, immortality. The highest spiritual Christianity in individual lives is indispensable to the acquiring of greater power in the perfected science of healing all manner of diseases. We know the healing standard of Christian Science was and is traduced by trying to put into the old garment the new old cloth of Christian healing. To attempt to twist the fatal magnetic element of human will into harmony with divine power, or to substitute good words for good deeds, a fair seeming for right being, may suit the weak or the worldly who find the standard of Christ's healing too high for them. Absolute certainty in the practice of divine metaphysics constitutes its utility, since it has a divine and demonstrable principle and rule. If some fall short of truth, others will attain it, and these are they who will adhere to it. The feverish pride of sects and systems is the death's head at the feast of love. But Christianity is ever storming sin in its citadels, blessing the poor in spirit and keeping peace with God. What Jesus' disciples of old experienced, his followers of today will prove, namely, that a departure from the direct line in Christ costs a return under difficulties, darkness, doubt, and unrequited toil will beset all their returning footsteps. Only a firm foundation in truth can give a fearless wing and a sure reward. The history of Christian Science explains its rapid growth. In my church, of over 21,631 communicants, 2,496 of whom have been added since last November. There sprang spontaneously the higher hope, an increase in virtue, fervor, and fidelity. The special benediction of our Father, Mother God, rests upon this hour. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. God is the infinite person. We hear it said, the Christian Scientists have no God because their God is not a person. Let us examine this. The loyal Christian Scientists absolutely adopt Webster's definition of God, a supreme being, and the Standard Dictionary's definition of God, the one supreme being, self-existent and eternal. Also, we accept God emphatically in the higher definition derived from the Bible, and this accords with the literal sense of the lexicons. God is spirit. God is love. Then, to define love in divine science, we use this phrase for God, divine principle. By this, we mean mind, a permanent, fundamental, intelligent, divine being called in Scripture, Spirit, Love. It is sometimes said, God is love, but this is no argument that love is God, for God is light, but light is not God. The first proposition is correct and is not lost by the conclusion, for love expresses the nature of God. But the last proposition does not illustrate the first, as light being matter loses the nature of God, spirit, deserts its premise, and expresses God only in metaphor. Therefore, it is illogical, and the conclusion is not properly drawn. It is logical that because God is love, love is divine principle. Then love, as either divine principle or person, stands for God, for both have the nature of God. In logic, the major premise must be convertible to the minor. In mathematics, 4 times 3 is 12, and 3 times 4 is 12. To depart from the rule of mathematics destroys the proof of mathematics, just as a departure from the principle and rule of divine science destroys the ability to demonstrate love according to Christ, healing the sick, and you lose its susceptibility of scientific proof. God is the author of science. Neither man nor matter can be. The science of God must be, is, divine, predicated of principle and demonstrated as divine love. And Christianity is divine science, else there is no science and no Christianity. We understand that God is personal in a scientific sense, but is not corporeal nor anthropomorphic. We understand that God is not finite. He is the infinite person, but not three persons in one person. Christian Scientists are theists and monotheists. Those who misjudge us because we understand that God is the infinite one instead of three, should be able to explain God's personality rationally. Christian scientists consistently conceive of God as one because he is infinite, and as triune because he is life, truth, love, and these three are one in essence and in office. If in calling God divine principle, meaning divine love, more frequently than person, we merit the epithet godless, we naturally conclude that he breaks faith with his creed, or has no possible conception of ours, who believes that three persons are defined strictly by the word person, or as one, for if person is God, and he believes three persons constitute the Godhead, does not person here lose the nature of one God, lose monotheism, and become less coherent than the Christian scientist's sense of person as one divine infinite triune principle named in the Bible life, truth, love? For each of these possesses the nature of all, and God omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Man is person. Therefore, divine metaphysics discriminates between God and man, the creator and the created, by calling one the divine principle of all. This suggests another query. Do Christian scientists believe in personality? They do, but their personality is defined spiritually, not materially, by mind, not by matter. We do not blot out the material race of Adam, but leave all sin to God's fiat, self-extinction, and to the final manifestation of the real spiritual man and universe. We believe, according to the scriptures, that God is infinite spirit or person, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man reflects spirit, not matter. We are not transcendentalists to the extent of extinguishing anything that is real, good, or true. For God and man in divine science or the logic of truth are coexistent and eternal. And the nature of God must be seen in man, who is his eternal image and likeness. The theological God as a person necessitates a creed to explain both his person and nature, whereas God explains himself in Christian science. Is the human person, as defined by Christian science, more transcendental than theology's three divine persons that live in the Father and have no separate identity? Who says the God of theology is a person, and the God of Christian science is not a person, hence no God? Here is the departure. Person is defined differently by theology, which reckons three as one and the infinite in a finite form, and Christian science, which reckons one as one and this one infinite. Can the infinite mind inhabit a finite form? Is the God of theology a finite or an infinite person? Is he one person or three persons? Who can conceive either of three persons as one person or of three infinites? We hear that God is not God except he be a person, and this person contains three persons. Yet God must be one, although he is three. Is this pure, specific Christianity? And is God, in Christian Science, no God because he is not after this model of personality? The logic of divine science being faultless, its consequent Christianity is consistent with Christ's hillside sermon, which is set aside to some degree, regarded as impracticable for human use, its theory even seldom named. God is person in the infinite scientific sense of him, but he can neither be one nor infinite in the corporeal or anthropomorphic sense. Our departure from theological personality is that God's personality must be as infinite as mind is. We believe in God as the infinite person, but lose all conceivable idea of him as a finite person with an infinite mind. That God is either inconceivable or is manlike is not my sense of him. In divine science, he is altogether lovely and consistently conceivable as the personality of infinite love, infinite spirit, than whom there is none other. Scholastic theology makes God manlike. Christian Science makes man godlike. The Trinity of the Godhead in Christian Science being life, truth, love constitutes the individuality of the infinite person or divine intelligence called God. Again, God being infinite mind, he is the all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving Father, Mother, for God made man in his own image and likeness, and made them male and female, as the scriptures declare. Then does not our heavenly parent, the divine mind, include within this mind the thoughts that express the different mentalities of man and woman, whereby we may consistently say, Our Father, Mother, God? And does not this heavenly parent know and supply the differing needs of the individual mind, even as the scriptures declare he will? Because Christian scientists call their God divine principle, as well as infinite person, they have not taken away their Lord and know not where they have laid him. They do not believe there must be something tangible to the personal material senses in order that belief may attend their petitions to divine love. The God whom all Christians now claim to believe in and worship cannot be conceived of on that basis. He cannot be apprehended through the material senses, nor can they gain any evidence of his presence thereby. Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed.